This taping device is a little like Moses, always reluctant. We're going to talk a lot about bread in the next several weeks. The bread of life. We have it for the next 6 weeks, chapter 6, all about bread from heaven, bread of life, Jesus as the bread, all of that stuff. So, in order to get at a good running start at some of that, I want to go back and just say this about through creation. I think it has been shown, several scholars have shown, that God was really an Italian mother. In both creation stories that we have in Genesis, we have this one thing that's really important in both, and that is that God creates the earth filled with good things to eat. Right? And the first one creates all the trees and all the bushes and everything that has, and they have fruit and they have seeds, and all of these things are good for human beings and for animals to eat. Make sure they're fed. That's the motto of an Italian mother, right? And then the second one, it begins with God creating a garden. And in the garden are all these things to eat and to enjoy. And then he creates human beings to put them into the garden so that they can enjoy and they can have something to eat. Right? Jesus is no different. Remember when Jesus raises up the little girl? He says, little girl, I say to you, arise. She rises and she comes back from the dead, and everybody's amazed. And what does Jesus say?
Give her something to eat.
There you go. Okay. Right? So the whole this business of eating is really important. Alexander Schmemann points this out so beautifully, that creation was that God intended the earth, the world, creation, to be food for human beings. And not just to be consuming, like it is to be food which is taken in as communion with God. All things were to be done as communion with God. Everything was to be referred back to God as the giver of this gift. So that when we eat breakfast, when we eat lunch, when we eat dinner, what do? We return thanks. We give thanks. And that's the model that all of creation, it was instilled in all of creation. Right? And it's, Schmemann says, the earth is divine love made food. Mm-hmm. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. Just everything that we are given is divine love made food for us, that we can take in this divine love and receive it and live in it and return love to God. That's the original intent of all of this creation, right? Of course, what happens? What happens is, well, again, it's food. It's the tree that was not created for communion with God, between God and humanity, and which humanity took. And from then, the image of that is that from then on, we began to look at the earth and the food that we took simply as food in itself, for itself. And the earth for itself. And that leads to all kinds of things. First of all, it disconnects us from the Creator. And second of all, it gives us this sense that now food is not this gracious gift that is given so that we can have communion with God. It is a commodity. And everything becomes commodified. Right? We can buy it, we can sell it, we can make money on it, we can do all kinds of things, and the chaos of that is simply part of the world in which we live, right? Where some have so much and some have so little. And it's got to break God's heart to say, my gifts to my beloved people have gone astray. Because they've chased after the gift and they've actually turned it into an idol rather than having those gifts turn them to me. So, that's the mess we're in. And Schmemann says that the original sin is the loss of that connection between the gift that God gives us and our connection with communion with God. That all things were created for that. Not just literally food, but everything. The air we breathe. is meant for communion with God. And when that gets severed, then there's all kinds of things break loose. It's the original sin, is what he says. Okay, so, now, which means that there has to be something that, how do we get out of this bind? And the answer is, of course, that God sends Jesus into the world. And in John's Gospel, Jesus becomes all of these wonderful things. He says, I am the bread of life. And this whole story that we've heard this morning is that the people got, remember, they got, he fed 5,000 last week, and they were like, oh, we got to chase after Jesus again because he fed us. And so they're chasing after him. They run around. They get in their boats. They go across the sea. They get to Capernaum. They find Jesus, and they say, we want some more food, please. And he says, you haven't got it quite yet. You didn't see the sign. What you came to see me for was because you got your fill of the loaves. And now you want me to feed you again. You want more. Right? You're looking at it in the way of fallen humanity. You're looking at it as that bread is for its own sake. And what I'm trying to get at in the feeding of these, what Jesus is trying to get at is, no, it's not just about the eating of the bread so that your stomach will not be growling anymore. It's for communion with God. Make this connection. And they say, well, you know, what sign are you going to do for that? So you're the bread, well, okay, but show us something. And Jesus says, finally, he says, I am the bread of life. All right? If you eat, if you take part in me, you will not hunger again. And the bread of life is an important part of it, right? But the I am part is the really intriguing part to me. Because when the I am is, Jesus is invoking the divine name. The one that God gave Moses in the burning bush. Jesus is saying, that God, I am. That God and I are one. Okay. The divine love, the divine creator, the divine, I am. And here is the thing that I just find absolutely delicious. Speaking of food, is this. The tradition among the rabbis, of which Jesus was a card-carrying member, is this. The divine name becomes equivalent with God's mercy. The attribute of God's mercy. And the last thing before the new year is Yom Kippur, which is the great confession and the atonement, right? And in before the temple was destroyed, the high priest would go into the temple and he would get vested and he would come out. And he would have on his forearms and on his forehead the divine name of God. And the people understood that that divine name, which is not to be spoken, it means mercy. God's name is mercy. So the year's worth of sin, the year's worth of stuff we did that we regretted, all of that stuff, at the end of the year, we bring it before God, and God comes out in the form of the high priest and is mercy embodied. Mercy. So every time the rabbis say, every time we hear of the divine name, we have to think the divine attribute of mercy. So listen to what that does. If Jesus is saying, I am at one with this divine God, and he is claiming the name, which is mercy, so it is, God's mercy is the bread of life. Mm-hmm. How's that? That is amazing. Mm-hmm. Eat that bread, live in God's mercy, you will never be hungry again. You will be reconnected with God in ways so that everything that you take in will bring such life to you, you will never be hungry again. This is what we are created for. Communion with God. Love of God. And God's mercy comes down upon us. How about this one? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Let that sink in a minute. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now you might be thinking that is really kind of restrictive and kind of exclusive and all of that stuff. But if you think of it this way, God's love, God's mercy is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. No one comes to God except through God's divine mercy. There are 7 I am sayings in John's Gospel. And if you fill in mercy, I am mercy, then these things just open up and it's just stunning. I am the door. Some people say the gate, some translations. No one comes. You can't get through life, you can't get through to God except insofar as you go through the gate of what? Mercy. Oh, God's mercy. That is just amazing. So, I'm all with the rabbis. I think this is absolutely rich and wonderful and good. And Jesus is the embodiment of that. And we, as God, as the body of Christ, receive that mercy in the bread that we receive every Sunday. And we then live out that mercy. Give it out. We are transformed by it. We are made new by it. And now everything that we know and see and receive, we know it is a gift from God. And we know it is the calling to be in communion with God once again. So our life is a great thanksgiving. That's what we call the Eucharist, the great thanksgiving, right? Our whole life is that. And you all know people who have this incredible gift of thanksgiving, of gratitude. Do you not? Do you? Yeah. Are there people like that in the world? I know that there are. I've seen people like that. And what an amazing way to go through life. And you also know people for whom gratitude is really hard. Well, this was a good gift. It's like the story in Exodus. Well, you know, we really wish we were back in the flesh pots of Egypt, you know, where we had our fill of all the good food. Well, what nonsense. I mean, slaves don't get to eat of the flesh pots of Egypt. No. But that was their craving. That was what they wanted because there was no thankfulness for God taking them out of slavery. And this is, a lot of our life is that way. We've got all of these wonderful gifts, and Thanksgiving just becomes a little difficult for us sometimes because we have fallen, again, into that sense of, well, what we receive is disconnected from God. So, but we never really fall away from it, right? We still know that we are hungry. And we still know somehow, don't we all know that gathering to eat together is really important? Right? We just know this. It is in our bones that meals together, there's something, it's almost like, let's do this because we're expecting something really good to happen. We don't know what, but it's going to be there. And that's this sense of what we were for, to be the recipients of God's gifts and to give thanks to God for food, the sharing of food, the sharing of God's mercy, the bread of life. So I just heard this story. I just heard it this morning, and I don't know lots of details, but it's a beautiful example of living into mercy, I think. There's apparently a guy in our community who is a young kid, 16, he's homeless and under some addiction or another, and is breaking into restaurants and establishments and stealing maybe alcohol and stuff to sell to buy drugs. So there's one person who owns the restaurant who was broken into. She's very, very upset, angry about it, right? And knows who it was. This kid's walking around in the streets and confronts this kid and says, "Don't just break into my place anymore." And then, I mean, this is just like, this is really, to be broken into is, right? It's a real gut punch. And then she started to hear about this kid's life. You know, both parents are dead, grandmother's around but not in the picture, addicted, all of these things, and no place to go, nowhere to live, living in a car in the heat, right? All the horrible. But this kid's life is just plain hell. And instead of holding on to that anger, she's saying to the kid, about this kid and to this kid, "Yeah, you do not break into my place anymore. And what can I do for this kid? How can we get help for this kid? He is in desperate need." And so she turned her anger into incredible compassion, into mercy. Right? Well, that's God's doing. Turns our anger into mercy. And Lord, have mercy. This is for the sake of the world, right? The world is so much in need of this. To turn our anger into mercy. To ask the question, what is it that's making these people do these things? Or again, to say, "Oh my gosh, look, you know, couldn't there be some mercy just prayed into the situations of our world?" I mean, the very place where this stuff comes from, Israel, right? Couldn't we just like, please, Lord, Israel, please have mercy. Palestinians are suffering horribly. And yes, you've suffered. Have mercy. Return to that sense of communion with God, where everything is a gift. Church, we've had our own history of not being merciful. Can we not turn and be merciful and relent of all of the things that we have done that reject people, that deny people, that sort people out by acceptable and non-acceptable? No. I am. God's mercy is the bread of life. Could we not instead turn all of that around and make our life the feast that God intends it to be? It begins with thanksgiving for all things. I am. God, the merciful one, is the bread of life. Eat it.